verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is coming, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Arise, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 14. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he thundereth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Lord bless the reading of this portion of the scripture. Now we were studying from the book of Revelation. Now we have come to almost the close of these studies. I think we have around 7 hours and we have studied. Now I think it's the 8th one. Last week we considered about the judgment on Babylon. Chapter 17 and 18 is the judgment upon Babylon. In 17 we see the God's judgment upon the religious Babylon, the mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. Then in 18 we see the judgment of God upon the commercial Babylon. Chapter 17, the judgment which happened upon the religious Babylon, that is in the middle of the tribulation period. The timeline we have to note down, because the reason is simple. In the middle of the tribulation we see that Antichrist will ban all the religion, and he will declare himself as God. So there won't be any other religion except him, himself as God. So that's why he will not allow this any religious organization after that. But with chapter 18 we see the commercial Babylon is destroyed by, as we consider, that by an atomic explosion or maybe a neutron bomb, and completely it will be destroyed. When the destruction of the Babylon comes, the heaven is rejoicing. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. This verse is very interesting in the sense, heaven is rejoicing, and those who are rejoicing is identified, apostles and prophets. We know that the church is built upon apostles and prophets. That means by this time, church is already there in heaven. So that is very interesting, and this is very supporting that about the pre-tribulation rapture concept of the biblical exposition. That means the church will be raptured before the tribulation period. So this is suggesting that because this is the time of tribulation, by the time the church is already there in heaven, the apostles and prophets are there. There are so many references like that. Anyhow, the heaven is rejoicing because of the destruction of Babylon. If you look into the Bible, you see the two main cities I told you, What is Jerusalem? The city of God. And Babylon, the city of man. The man, the Antichrist. So, we see the God judgment is coming upon this Babylon. The first city that attacked Jerusalem, or the first person who attacked Jerusalem, is Babylon, the Nebuchadnezzar. And he is the one who attacked the God's temple. He was against the God's city, the city of Jerusalem. And when the Lord is going to come again, that is what in this background, Lord will come again and he will attack the Babylon. That is, the king of Judah will attack the city of Babylon. The king of Babylon attacked Jerusalem, and the same way at the end, the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy Babylon. And he will establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And because of that, we see in chapter 90, there's a hallelujah voice, we can see that. Verse 3, you read that, chapter 90. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. In verse 1 and 3, we read about the hallelujah voice in heaven. Now, in verse 4 and 6, again we see two times the hallelujah. The 4 and 20 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. Verse 6 again, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I think the second two hallelujahs is not related with the destruction of Babylon, on the contrary, I believe personally that it may be a hallelujah song during the marriage of the Lamb. The heaven is rejoicing at the time of marriage. And that rejoicing we see in verse 4 and 6. Who will be singing the choir at that time in heaven? Who are the participants? Well, of course, we are not singing because we are the bride. Bride will not sing, isn't it? Yeah? She is enjoying the presence of the Lord. Then who are going to sing? I do believe the angels are going to sing. Probably the Old Testament saints may join in their spiritual state to sing that beautiful song to the Lamb of God. You know, I believe, because the reason is simple. When God founded the earth, when he laid the foundation of the earth, in Job chapter 38 we see the angels, they sang wonderful song at that time. If the angels are singing songs when they laid the foundation of the earth, naturally we can imagine that they will sing song at this time of marriage also. The same way I do believe when the Adam and Eve got married, is there any choir was for them? Nobody was there, isn't it? Eh? Only God was there. No. There should be a witness for the marriage. Now who witnessed the marriage of them? That's also the angels. Angelic host was there during that time, I do believe. And the angels sang beautiful song at the time of Adam and Eve. And also they witnessed the marriage. Same way here, one of the most beautiful marriage in the whole universe that is going to take place. This is the second marriage that God is going to conduct. The first marriage he conducted in the Garden of Eden, and the second marriage he is going to conduct in heaven. And when the heaven is rejoicing and the angels are singing wonderful songs. Now there is an invitation for the marriage supper. Come and join for the supper, marriage is over. Verse 7 we see that, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, For the marriage of the Lamb is come. It means actually marriage of the Lamb is over. They have already completed, accomplished, finished. That is in heaven. And his wife hath made herself ready. She is beautifully adorned. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Probably because of this one, most of the bride, they used to have the time of marriage, the clean, white dresses they wear. Maybe because of that. Anyhow, that is a good thing. The marriage of the Lamb is still. She is arrayed a dress that is made by herself. Her work, it is mentioned, righteous deeds of the saints. All that we do here on this earth will appear as a beautiful garment in heaven. And we see that when the rapture is taking place, we will meet him in the air. And in the air, Lord will give us the rewards. And that reward-giving sermon is resulting in a beautiful garment. Now, today the bride primarily doing that she is preparing a garment for her. As I mentioned sometimes back, as you remember that, as a Jewish custom is that the gap between the engagement and the marriage is about 1 year. It's a long period, isn't it? They are waiting for that. They are not just watching, they are preparing for that. The boy will be preparing a beautiful chamber so that they can have a beautiful house they will prepare. That's why the Lord said, in my father's house there are many mansions. Otherwise I would have told you, I am going to prepare a place for. Once it is prepared, he will come to take the bride. So Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you and me. Meanwhile, the bride, she is not worried about the place and all. She is worried what dress she will wear, isn't it? What type of the color of the sari she is wearing. That is her worry. Which sari shop we should go? Kalanigedan or some other thing in Kerala, they say, and so many other Shimati and all these things they use. And they best sari shopping. And they have their own imaginations, maybe color and adorning all. And that is what she is doing this 1 year. During this time of engagement, she is preparing herself for that. Today, the church has to do the same thing. Church is doing or preparing for the coming. And we read that Lord is coming to give us the reward. Yesterday when I was attending a Bible study, and the brother was telling that when the Lord is giving reward, he will give reward. We will all will receive the reward, it is mentioned elsewhere. So I was so happy, at least some reward we will get. Every believer will get some reward. And that reward is the beautification of the bride. Lord will never forget whatever we have done in the name of the Lord. In the smallest thing he has recorded. Not that he forgets it. He records, that's all. Not that the Lord is forgetting and all is like that. But he records everything. Even a small thing which we do in the name of the Lord, God is not unrighteous to forget that. So I think the Hebrews chapter 6, we'll read that verses. Always test my heart, because God is a righteous God. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. I think that verse you can also note down. This is one of my favorite verses. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints. And do whatever ministry we have done to the Lord's people, whether small or big, sometimes we will forget. The recipient will forget, the giver also will forget. But Lord will never forget, and he will give us the reward. So it is very good. That is what I told you sometimes back. I told you, even a glass of water, if you give, what will happen? So cup of tea, how many rivers? 5 rewards is anymore. Somebody told me, 5 rewards are necessary. What is the 5 rewards? I told you that some days back. What is the 5 rewards? Water 1 reward, then milk 1 reward, sugar, tea powder, 4 rewards. What is the 5th one? So he said, told me, it's a gas. Gas is also 5 rewards you get. Yes, Lord will never forget. Yes, I told him that you, if you give me a cup of tea, you will get only 4 rewards. Because I don't take any sugar. So what I mean is that God will reward us. And each of these rewards will beautifully appear there. All our tests. So I think we should do something. Today just now I was talking to some in a camp meeting. I was talking to them. Alexander, you went from this world empty-handed, isn't it? But for a believer, he is not going empty-handed. That we have to understand. Revelation chapter 14, when we studied, I told you about that. We are going, the works will follow after us. Don't think that we are going from this world empty-handed. Whatever work we have done for the Lord will follow after us. And we will be rewarded. So that we have to understand. And that reward will appear as a beautiful dress for the bride and the bridegroom. That is what we have seen here. So, the marriage of the Lamb is going to take place. Marriage is going to take place in heaven. How you can understand? Because in chapter 11 we see, chapter 19 verse 11, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse is coming. Jesus is coming again. Who is following? You look at verse 14. And the armies that were in heaven followed him. That is, angels also included upon him. White horses. There we see the clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is wearing that? That is the. You see, in verse 8, we see the same phrase. Arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. So the bride is arrayed in clean and white garment. Same thing is that those who are following, they are following with the same thing. That shows that it is after the marriage, they are coming from heaven. That shows the marriage is taking place in. But it is interesting to note that the marriage feast is taking place on the earth. When the Lord is going to come, when he touches his feet, touches on the Mount of Olives, the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. And along with the Old Testament saints, all will be seated in the millennial kingdom for the marriage feast of the Lamb. We know that in the marriage ceremony, there are so many things are happening, but we are more interested in the marriage feast. How is the food? That's the question. And the other starters were there, and the chicken was there, mutton was there, so many questions we get there. We are all interested in the marriage feast. What is the menu in this marriage? That's the question. What should be the menu? Is it God's marriage? God's arranging? He's the father who arranged the marriage. This is not a small marriage. If the menu is really wonderful, we cannot understand properly. Somebody was telling that Isaiah 25, I think, is giving a menu of the marriage of the Lamb. Isaiah 25. There is a marriage feast is arranging by God. And in that, upon the mountain, we see that the Lord is arranging a marriage feast. Verse 6. We see the menu of that marriage. 25:6 Isaiah. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine, on the leaves of feet of fat things full of marrow, of wine, and on the leaves well refined. So this is probably, we cannot understand all of the details, but this is one of the wonderful feast that Lord is prepared. When we are going to be there, feast of wines, different types of wines should be there, and fat things are mentioned, and fat things full of marrow. When we read this is for a human body, we know this is all not good, isn't it? But we are in a resurrected body, we have no problem. And the question arises, whether resurrected body we will eat, there's a question. Yes, if you want, you can eat it, otherwise you need not eat also. In a resurrected body, there's no need to eat, but possibility that if whenever you are interested, you can eat. Lord Jesus Christ, He rose again and He ate. What He ate? What Jesus ate after the resurrection? He ate fish. Very good, isn't it? So He ate fish. So we see that the feast is mentioned there. So this is a wonderful thing that the Lord is doing. When the Lord is coming, verse 15, you look at that. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So Lord, when He is coming to deliver His people Israel. He is coming to fight with the enemies of Israel. The whole enemies of Israel is surrounded them in Jerusalem. So then all the problems in the world is primarily because of the Jewish people. That is what the world is thinking now. The number of anti-Semitic people are increasing. Among the Christians also it is increasing, unfortunately. Yesterday one brother of ours was telling that there are so many, even the biblical scholars, they are against Jewish people. And they say that there is no salvation for Jews now. That is what some of them are teaching. So that's wrong. That teaching is wrong. And it's an indication that even so-called Bible-believing Christians are also against Jewish people. But the Bible is very clear that there is a salvation for them. And God is coming again. Lord is coming again in the second coming. He is going to deliver them from the hands of the enemies. They are the chosen people, God's people. He cannot reject them. So here we see that from his mouth, the sword will proceed and He will restore His people. And verse 17 to onwards, one is the Lamb's Supper, we see that. Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Whereas here in verse 17, we see another supper. Come and gather, we see that, yourself together unto the supper of great God. What is that supper? That supper is the Armageddon. In that, many will die. Hundreds and hundreds of people will die. An invitation is given to the birds of the air and the animals in the forest to come and feast upon that. So that supper is feasting upon the dead bodies of the slain ones during the time of Armageddon. Lord, when He was talking about Armageddon in the book of Matthew chapter 24, then He said that where dead bodies are there, the what is it? The eagle will or the vultures will gather around. That shows that hundreds of people will die at that time, and the animals and all, they will feed upon that. And that supper here is referred as the great supper of God. And we see the Lord is fighting there. We see in verse 18 that He may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains and the flesh of the mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. So we see that call is made to the fowls of the air to come and feast upon these dead bodies. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So they will fight with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very interesting. In Psalm 2 also we have this one that is going to fulfill in the future. Now, first thing what he is going to do, verse 20, when he comes, the first thing he is going to do, look at verse 20. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with the brimstone. So the first two people whom he is going to capture is, one is Antichrist, or the beast, and second one is the false prophet. I would like to call them as the prisoners of war. The two leaders who are responsible for the Armageddon or the final world war, who were responsible for the destruction of the Jewish people. And they will be caught alive. And when they were caught, what will happen? First, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Look at that, lake of fire. Lake of fire is the ultimate place or the final destiny of all the wicked and Satan. Or we can analyze and study that this lake of fire is really hell, real hell. Today, anybody is there in the hell? No, nobody is there. Not a single person is there. Hell is empty now. Now, those who die today as a wicked one, those who are not accepting Jesus as a savior, they are not directly thrown into the hell or lake of fire. They are kept in a place called as torment. They are in a lockup. It is similar to that, no doubt. But it is not the hell or the lake of fire. You know, the rich man is still there. So many years he is crying. Crying for a drop of water. So all those who are wicked are now there. That's called the Sheol, not the lake of fire. Even the Sheol will be thrown finally into the lake of fire. So you understand the difference there. So the lake of fire is the ultimate destiny of Satan and all those who join them. I think the inaugural function of this hell will be done by Antichrist and they are inaugurating the hell or the lake of fire. How they are inaugurating it is mentioned. Both of them were cast alive into the lake of fire. Who were the two? One who were alive went into heaven. Enoch and Elijah. They are the two one because of their righteous deeds they went into heaven alive. They walked with God. They pleased God. Here are two people, those who are going alive into the hellfire because of their wickedness. That means we can very easily understand they are the most wicked people ever lived on the surface of the earth. As somebody says, as believes that even the Antichrist is an incarnation of Judas Iscariot, or is a repossession of the Judas possibility. Most wicked people, they are thrown into the hell fire. Then I was wondering, they are thrown into the natural body, isn't it? Alive they are thrown. They will not see the death. That means body will be a fireproof body. And they will not be burned as often. I don't know how that. Anyhow, they will suffer. Pain is there. They will cry for what? That too, even a drop of water. They will have their gnashed teeth. That's what we know that. All those who are going to hell will have nobody will without teeth. Everybody will have teeth. Anyhow. I think before going to hell, God will provide a set of teeth to them because gnashing of teeth has to take. Yes, that's one. Body is a very horrible body they will have. It is a fireproof, but yet they will feel pain. Now, verse 21 we see, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the host, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yes, the war is continuing for some more time. The Armageddon will continue for some more time. And you have no idea how many days. But before the millennial kingdom establishment and the Lord's coming, I'm not going into the details, just for your information. When the Lord comes on the Mount of Olives, and afterwards there's a gap of 75 days, and all what is written here is going to happen during that time. In the 74 days, the Lord is purifying the whole earth, cleansing the whole earth, and he will establish his kingdom. After 75 days of his coming on the earth, the millennial kingdom will start for 1,000 years. So we have a reference about that in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11 and 12, we see that. So that so many things are involved in that, I don't want to go into that. Now, then what will happen? Comes to verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And three. We'll read three verses. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. We see that an angel is coming from heaven with an arrest warrant to arrest the Satan, the greatest deceiver, or the father of lies, we can say. He is the father of murderer. You know, he is a murderer from the beginning. And finally, the mighty angel is assigned the duty to chain him, arrest him. And we see that he will be arrested and finally he will be relieved after 1,000 years for a little season. And he will be thrown, we see, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, and he should deceive the nations no more. So 1,000 years he will be kept in the bottomless pit. As I told you earlier when we studied chapter 9, bottomless pit is a place where the demonic forces, those who are troubling human beings, are kept under chain. And sometimes they will be released, and some again they will be caught and kept there. A parole is given in the prison. So the parole will be there and they will be kept here. So bottomless pit will be there. See, he will be arrested, and then we see that he will be thrown into the bottomless pit. For how many years? 1,000. So the whole earth will be cleansed, purified. Then we see the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule upon this earth. There is verse 4 onwards, we see the resurrection of the saints. And those who are resurrected will join with the Lord Jesus Christ to reign with him. Verse 4, we see that. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So we see about the first resurrection. At the first resurrection, all those who are saints will be resurrected, and they will join with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we rule on this earth for 1,000 years. In this 1,000 years, no Satan will be there, no deceiver is there, no demonic forces are there, all the wicked peoples are removed, and we will be ruled. Who is the king? Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the church, will be the bride along with him. We'll be standing on the right side. As an Ophir, with the wearing the crown and the Ophir and all these things. And we will rule with him 4,000 years. This is a reality that is going to happen very, very soon. And we are waiting for that. So, all those who are partakers of the first resurrection, they are identified here. And they are really, they are the blessed ones, those who are the partakers of the first. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first. A man was reading this one. He heard the message. Then he said, "Oh Lord, even if it is not the first, at least give me the second one." Yes. Whether you pray or not, if you are not belonging to the first, you will be there for the second. The second is the resurrection of the wicked. That will take place after 1,000 years. So all those who are saints, believers of any age, any dispensation, they will be resurrected before the 1,000 years. And that resurrection is called as the first resurrection. And the resurrection after 1,000 years is the resurrection of the wicked only. There's a lot of questions and doubts are there. Now during the 1,000 years, the rule, what type of rule it is? Whether everything is righteous there? Of course, righteousness will be there. That is the rule of the righteousness. And we read that the Lord is going to rule with what it is? With the iron rule. That means it's a righteous rule. And we read that morning by morning he removes the wicked one from the city. So all the wicked ones, those who are there, will be removed. That means there is a wickedness. There sometimes the rebellion will be there. Some people will rebel. They will not pay the tax properly. When tax election will be there in 1,000 years also. If they are not paying the tax properly, what will happen? The rain will not be getting for them. They have to send their taxes, all the goodness, to the Lord. They have to worship. They have to come to the worship. But everywhere we see the holiness is there. Come to the book of Zechariah. We read that. Everywhere the holiness will be there. And no business people will be there. Or cheaters will be there. That's what it means. Business, I mean. And there are those who are deceivers will not be there. Comes to this one, we see that verse 16 we will read in the beginning. And that it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came to again Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the host of even upon them shall be no rain. That means punishment is there. Then we see again the holiness is mentioned that day, verse 20. That day shall there be upon the belts of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the porch in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Everywhere it is written, holiness unto the Lord, holiness unto the Lord. So that rule is wonderful rule. In verse 21 we read that every port in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil in them. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. No more Canaanite means no more businessman. When the Lord came into the temple of God, what happened? They made it a house of merchandise. Business people were there. They were making money there. And the house of merchandise became the den of thieves later on. But in the coming time, there will not be any business in the house of God. People are making money in the name of the house of God. I hope you know why the Lord was so angry. poor person, he will carry his lamb to sacrifice all the way from his home. After examining that there is nothing wrong in that, he comes to the gate of the temple to offer the sacrifice. There is a temple police there. They are watching that. He said, just to show your animal whether any problem is there or not. If you want. And they will examine. They say, no, this is not fit for the sacrifice. You take it away. Poor fellow, where to take? He has carried all the way from home to sacrifice. And he is outsider. There are people to buy this one. And he will sell it very cheap because he cannot carry it. He will sell it outside for a cheap amount, small amount. Then he will go inside. Inside so many other animals are there. And he has to take an animal from inside. Maybe double or 10 times more than the cost outside. He has to pay that money there. After paying money, he will go and offer the sacrifice. Meanwhile, the animal which is sold, it will come from the back door inside the temple of God.
Understand?
That is why the Lord was so annoyed with that. The historian says the temple, that place, the marketplace called Anna's market, the share goes to the Anna the high priest. Proportional amount. Corruption was so much there. That's why here it's mentioned that in the coming temple there won't be any Canaanite. Any business will not be, no business will be allowed there. So, everywhere holiness is there. But some measure of problem will be there. And if that will be dealt with iron rod, then question rising whether there is any death in the millennial kingdom. Yes, death is there. Comes to the book of Isaiah, we have very clear reference that death will be there. Isaiah chapter 65. And who will die there? That's the question. Verse 20. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. There shall be no more in it an infant of days, nor any old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. The death is very rare. Very rare. And sometimes you may say, oh, yesterday there is a man who died there. Say, the neighbor, yesterday their neighbor died. A small child died. How old is the child? 100 years. Because people live up to 900 years, more than that they live. So, for them, a person who is of 100 years is only a child. A child died 100 years. Why he died? The reason is given because he's a sinner. He committed something wrong. So God removes them. And very interesting, I noticed all throughout I read, if you have got any other reference, you can tell me. I found that there's no mention of the death of a righteous man. Only who will die? Only the sinners will. Now, the question arising, that means after 1,000 years, there's no resurrection of the righteous. Because no righteous person is dying during the time of millennium. That is why the second resurrection is called as the resurrection of the wicked. Whereas the first resurrection before 1,000 years, all the resurrection of the righteous one. I think that solves the problem of resurrection after the 1,000 years. There is no resurrection for the righteous ones after the 1,000 years. So, this 1,000-year rule is wonderful that we have to take it separately and study. Really, you may enjoy it. Isn't it? The animals, there's no carnivorous animals. Lion is eating grass. Oh, something is really unbelievable. Eh? And children, they will play with the snake. You need not to buy any toys for them. Right? They are very happy with the snakes, live snakes. They will play. Because poisonous snakes won't be there like that. And the wolf and the lamb will feed together. They stay together. And that wonderful day is coming. The whole ecology is going to change. The whole atmosphere is going to change. And we will be eating wonderful fruits at that time. Fruits will be very cheap. What are the food we are going to eat? I always wonder. I don't know what are the things. I think we will have mutton curry, no problem. I think so. And the reason why I say is that, it's not my casual mentioning, because in the temple of God, the sacrifices are going on. If the sacrifices are going on in the temple, that is a portion is meant for the priest. So priestly tithes, they can have it. But one thing we should understand, we are in a resurrected body. We are not bound by the natural desires of ours. There is no hunger, there is no thirst. That is what the Revelation chapter 6, 7. Chapter 7 says that. For us there is no hunger, there is no thirst. But those who are in the natural body, they may be eating all these things. The fishery is going to be developed like anything. Bible says about it. Fishermen will catch a lot of fishes at that time. Even the Dead Sea today, there is no life. But Dead Sea will be abundant in the fishes at that time. And so I feel I am very happy because I am specialized in fisheries. So fishery science will be very much developed at that time. Even the metallurgical development will be there. Even the gold will be available in plenty. New technology is already started developing. They say that with the new technology we can extract gold in abundance. So gold and silver and all these metals will be abundantly available during the time of millennium. I think we have to study separately on that beautiful time of 1,000 years. In the Old Testament, we have a lot of references about that. Lord, the resurrected saints joined with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to rule for the 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, what will happen? After 1,000 years, we see the Satan will be released. For a short time. Let us look at that verse 10. Of the 7 onwards, 7 to 10 we have to read. And when the 1,000 years enter, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom as the sand of the sea. You see, the Satan will deceive people. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet and all and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the third very important VIP person going into hell. Two are already there. And Satan is the third VVIP. Of course, there are so many others is going before that. Those who are, you know, when the Lord is coming, he will divide the mankind, those who are on the right side, and the sheep and the goat, we see that. Those who are goat, you know that, those who are on the left side, they are already going there. Lord is casting them into that lake of fire. But apart from that, the main players in that, this is the devil, he is also will be accompanying them, and he will go there. And then we see that the present heaven and the earth will be destroyed. The present heaven and the earth will be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed. Whatever we see here, that we read in Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. If you read, there we see the destruction of the earth is mentioned. That will happen here at this time. The day of the Lord, verse 10, I am reading. The day of the Lord come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away, the great noise, and the elements shall melt, and in the fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are in it shall be burned. Then we see verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and the new earth, in which dwelleth righteousness. Yes, we see that the present heaven and the earth will be destroyed. How is it going to be destroyed? It's mentioned there with a great noise. Big Bang Theory. We see here. Bible says the Big Bang theory is right in destruction of the universe, not the creation of the universe. The universe is created by the word of God. From nothingness God has called. It is not by Big Bang. But here we see it is going to be destroyed by a Big Bang with a great noise. Everything will melt away. And that is going to happen. The earth will be completely destroyed by fire. Satan will be thrown into the hellfire. The earth and everything will be cleansed. There are various views whether the present earth is completely destroyed or renovated. A lot of views are there. I don't want you to go into the debate and explain about it. And there's a view. Anyhow, the new heaven and the new earth will come. Before that, something else is going to happen. Those who are dead in their wickedness, sinful men, they will be raised. That is, I told you, after 1,000 years it is happening, and that resurrection is called as the second resurrection. See, the Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. He will be thrown into the lake of fire. And then we see another very important thing is happening. Chapter 21 verse 11 onwards. We will read a few verses at least. 20 verse 11 onwards. Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Yes, the heaven and the earth will be destroyed. And the dead shall, and dead small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Then we see verse 14, we will read. And the death and the Hades of the Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So finally, the Sheol is also thrown into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this white throne judgment will come. The Lord is sitting. We don't know where it is going to be placed. Somewhere in the universe it will be placed. Because the earth is destroyed. And in that universe, everybody will stand there before him. And we read, the books will be opened. Books will be opened. I believe there is a book in everybody's name. And our name will be there. It's our autobiography, like a biography. Biography of Koshi Matthew. Like that. There will be there. And the books will be opened. Of course, one thing is consolation. We need not to stand before the white throne judgment. We believers will not be there. We will be watching the whole event, probably involved in the judgment. We are not sure about all these things. We also be made the partakers in the process of judgment. But we see that all those who are died, everybody's name, there's a book. And that books will be opened. And we read that according to their works, verse 13, you look at that. They were judged, every man, according to their works. Because they have not accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. That's the only reason. We have accepted Jesus as a personal Savior, so we are free from all these things. We will not be judged at this time. I think it will appear before us. Oh, this thing. I thought that sin, I never thought that it is known to anybody else. Yes, I did. Then each sin will come. All the works will be done. Then I think everybody will say, yes, yes, I did it. There's no way to say no. There's no way to argue about it. Everything is very clear. If anybody says, no, that is not right, then the witnesses will be brought. The heaven and the earth will witness. That's what we say. The particles will start speaking. The words will start speaking like that. You know, everything is recorded. So, we see that every witnesses will be brought if any objection is there. And finally we say, O Lord, whatever judgment you have made is a righteous judgment. You are righteous. I think nobody will in the world, no court will have such a statement. Everybody will say, the judge is wrong, you have done wrongly. But before this judgment, everybody say that you are a righteous, and they will go to hellfire by saying that. And they will be brought before by checking their names. First of all, checking, come here. Okay, then they will name, Mr. X, come here. Whether their name is there or not in the Lamb Book of Life. If your name is not there in the Lamb Book of Life, then you will be brought before the white throne. Judgment. Praise to God. Thank God that our names are written there in the Lamb Book of Life. Yes, our names are written. It is not going to be erased. Don't think the Lord is just taking a rubber and every time erasing. No. There's no erasing. It is a permanent, a secure name. Your names are written there. Once the name is there in the Lamb Book of Life, we need not to stand before the white throne. See here, checking whether the name is there or not. If name is there, we need to. If name is not there, what happened? We have to stand and the books will be involved. I think it is a solemn occasion at that time. It is a trembling when we hear. Because we need not to worry because our names are there. Those who are really not born again. You can imagine what is the state of them. They may be trembling before that. You know, the Belshazzar, when he saw the writing there on the wall, he trembled. Same way, the sinful men will tremble before God, the righteous God, when they see the deeds are written. All the sins are written there. And that is going to happen. It's a terrible experience. It's going to happen. Finally, where they will go? They will go to the eternal hell, the lake of fire. Lake of fire. The worms will not die. What is the temperature? I don't know. Huge temperature. The lake of fire, it is mentioned. Fire is in the liquid form. I don't know what it is. It's very difficult for me to understand. It's a lake. That means it's a liquid. And that liquid is nothing but fire. That's what it is mentioned. It is beyond our imagination. And that is the place the wicked one is going. Thank God that God revealed the wonderful things to us. We are escaping from these things. It is the cost place. Only the cost place, that's all. And then starts the new heaven and the new earth. Of course, it is a human imagination. It won't be like this. It will be 100% better than this one. Even this itself is something good, isn't it? Eh? Not polluted area, is it? No pollution, nothing is there, fresh air. Eh? I always say, Borivali is the freshest air in Bombay, isn't it? Because there are so many trees will be there. And this will be the best. God's perfect earth and the heaven is going to come. And we are going to dwell in that. And that place where we are going to dwell. We are going to dwell in the city of God. City of gold. It is not only the city of God, it is the city of gold. Even the streets are full of gold. We need not to drive through the tar roads, nor we need to drive through the concrete roads. Isn't it? The car will be there, I don't know. I have no idea. But anyhow, of course in heaven chariots are there. That's mentioned, isn't it? So chariots will be there. The chariots, we will be moving in the chariots of God. Fiery chariots are there. So road is there, that is very clear. And that road is made up of gold. There will not be any back problem because of that, isn't it? Very smooth road. Wonderful road will be there. And that city is there. And in that city, what is the table city? This is there. New Jersey. From Kanyakumari to around Kashmir, near to that, that much is the length. 1,500 miles length. Can you imagine? And the height is also the same. The width is also the same. When Deepak Jariwala last week, he was calling me. He said, have you calculated the measurement of New Jersey? I said, I never calculated. He said, even the first floor itself can accommodate 4 billion people. He did a calculation. I don't know how he did it. That means it can accommodate any amount. And that is a wonderful concept.
You can imagine from Kanyakumari to at least New Delhi or near Kashmir, that means the length is there. That means length and width and breadth, the height. You can imagine what the amount of people can be accommodated. And that is really poorly. Gates are there. It is a good poly gates. You know, all tall, different types of gems are there. And the foundation is also gems. I don't want to explain because some of the things I cannot understand. I think Sadhu can better explain because he's in the gemology. He showed me some photographs of different colors of the gems earlier. I was also trying to study that also. This wonderful thing we see here, the 12 gates are there. And confusing verse 21, chapter 21, is a pure gold. The street of the city was pure gold, we see that. And it were transparent glass. That is very confusing for me. Glass, the gold is transparent? Gold is not transparent. But here he says that gold is transparent. Somebody told me that when the gold is extreme pure, it becomes transparent. I am not sure about it. Is there any idea about it? No. Okay. We can do study. Anyhow, this is a gold it is mentioned. But it is a transparent gold. That means everybody can see each other. What are we? These materials are not of earth that we have to understand. This is a heavenly material. And that is the city that is going to. And only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book will be permitted to enter into this city. Wonderful city. See the foundation. Different types of stones are there. And the single gate is a pearly gate. One single pearl is unimaginable for me. Pearls are very small, in fact. But here, the huge pearl is the gate. And this is the place that we are going to. Chapter 22, we see the more beautiful picture of the paradise is given. And in that paradise, there is a river that is flowing from the throne of God. This is it. And that river, there is a tree on the river, both the sides. The tree is there. And that tree bears fruit. 12 different types of fruit every month is there. Good, isn't it? Every time we will get a different type of food. Maybe monthly, I don't know, every month they then probably. There's another, the leaf of that trees are used for healing the nations is mentioned. Verse 2, chapter 22. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river was there a tree of life. There's a tree of life which was prohibited for Adam. Now it is available. Which bore 12 kinds of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Then we wonder, in heaven there is a sickness? These are some of the questions people ask. There's nothing to do with that. In heaven we are perfect in our health. Then what is this healing and all is mentioned? You understand? During the time of millennium, this was the information. During the time of millennium, the city is coming down from heaven. If you read chapter 21, we understand. But when it is coming down, it is not reaching the earth because it cannot hold. The earth cannot hold this city. It's so huge. So it will be revolving around the earth like a satellite. That's what the scholars believe. It is going to revolve around the earth as satellite during the 1,000-year rule. So we will be always dwelling in the city only. Maybe that city may be just above the earthly Jerusalem. So we can move, come from the city into the earth, we can go back also, there is no problem. So on the earth we see that people with the natural body is there. Their health may not be that perfect sometimes. Or for them, this leaves of the tree is used for healing. It is not heaven only. It is not for men. In heaven, don't think that there is sickness, no. Probably during the time of millennial kingdom, these leaves will be used for the healing of the nations, it is mentioned, Gentiles. So this is how it has to be explained. Anyhow, this we are going to serve him. And his servants, we serve us, Sri Sridhar,
last part, his servant shall serve in heaven. Whether in job is there, we feel that we are sitting every time. If you continuously sit, it's monotonous, isn't it? No. I think heaven is the busiest place. There's no sitting like that. What we are doing, we are serving him. We may be assigning certain duties in this universe. And Lord has his own plan. And we are continuously worshipping him. After explaining all these things, the Lord is saying, behold, I come. How many times it is mentioned here? 3 times. Isn't it? You look at that, verse 7. Behold, I come. After verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Verse 20, surely I come. 3 times repeating, I come quickly, I come quickly. What is our response? What is our response? Amen. Then we say, even so, come. Lord Jesus. I think I am not that satisfied with that statement. What is the problem? Lord says, I am coming quickly. We say, but, alright, come. There is no problem that you need to be hurry for that. You come according to your convenience. That's it. Not quickly. Actually, the answer should have been, Amen, even so, come Lord. Quickly. The quickly is missing from our prayer. After studying all these things, we want to leave a little more time here on this. How we are trying to extend our life, what all we think, isn't it? When we are sick, you know, we all type of what, maybe medicine or something, all that. We make to live a little more life here. We have to pray. Yeah? I think once we really enjoy this thing, we can definitely pray like, definitely. I mean, Lord, even so, come Lord. So this should be our prayer. And this is the only book which is, of course, which is plainly promised in the New Testament. Of course, reading the Bible is a blessing, no doubt, all the part. But this book is specially promised that those who read and hear and keep this book will be blessed. So I'm sure we have studied about 7-8 classes. I'm sure this study was a great blessing to all of you. Read, hear, and of course many times we studied it, is not the new thing. But again and again, if you read and hear, this is a great blessing. Our Lord is going to come. So let us jointly pray, Amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. May God bless this of us.
Salary scene number 350.